कर्वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So today we'll start with the chapter 1 of the Bhagavad Gita, summary of this first chapter. As you know, Bhagavad Gita has totally 18 chapters, and these 18 chapters are talking about the central message given in the Upanishads. The Upanishads talk about the Supreme Self. We know our real, we know our outer self, the body. We know our inner self, the mind, and the intellect, but we do not know our real self. And as long as we do not know our real self, our life will be filled with sufferings and sorrow. So if we wish to establish happiness and freedom in our life, one needs to fight in contact with the self and function from the level of the self. Therefore, Upanishads introduce ourselves to ourselves. We, like I said, we know the outer self, we know the inner self, we do not know the real self. And Upanishads only talk about the real self, identifying with the real self. Everything that is happening on the world will not affect us. I said that these 18 chapters partly summary of the Upanishad. Upanishad talks about Tattvamasi, that the what, that supreme reality, the what, not this individual, what you believe yourself to be. So the nature of the individual is talked in the first 6 chapters, Tvam. And the nature of Brahman or God, the supreme reality, is talked about in the middle 6 chapters, Tat. And the last 6 chapters talk about the connection between Brahman and the Jiva. Jiva Ishvara Aitya Sambandha. So the first 6 chapters talk about Tvam, the individual, you, the nature of the individual. And the middle 6 talks about the nature of Brahman or God. And last 6 chapters talk about the connection between the two. Jiva Ishvara Aika Sambandha. And Bhagavad Gita starts with the, what do you call the, Bhagavad Gita starts with the word Dharma. Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Samaveta Yuyutsavaha Mamaka Pandavashchaiva Himat Purvata Sanjaya. So Bhagavad Gita is called as Moksha Shastra as well as Dharma Shastra. Firstly, Bhagavad Gita teaches you what is life and how to live your life. And by living your life, you overcome all your shortcomings, gain control over your emotions, and then ultimately reach the self and attain moksha. So Upanishads more focus on moksha, whereas Bhagavad Gita talks about the preparatory steps as well. Upanishads are for the people who are prepared and ready for moksha, whereas Bhagavad Gita is for a person who is like Arjuna. So all of us are Arjuna, and Krishna is the guru who gives us the knowledge. So Arjuna is only our representative. And we need to firstly learn how to live in this world. And then once we kind of become free from the preoccupations of the world, then we would really question as to what is the ultimate self, etc. So only then we would be deeply interested in the Atma, the inner self. So if you see in our culture, we have split the life into 4 different stages. The first stage, approximately you can say the first 25 years of our life, is called as Brahmacharya Ashrama, where you are a student, Brahmachari. A student is supposed to educate one in the Dharma. Dharma means the knowledge of life, how to live. So you learn both the spiritual and the secular knowledge. Secular knowledge will teach you how to yearn, and spiritual knowledge will teach you how to deal with the world and rise above and move towards the Atma will. And thus when our mind becomes free from the preoccupations of the world, then only we qualify for the Moksha Shastra opening. So first, Brahmacharya. In fact, in Brahmacharya Ashram itself, they teach you Upanishads and everything, but you are not really digested, if you can say. So you go to the next stage called Grahastha Ashrama. Grahastha Ashrama is for another, let's say, approximately 25 years. So in this Grahastha Ashrama, you do Karma Yoga. It is called Karma Pradhana Ashrama, where majority you do action. Action is the insignia of life. Inaction is death. The problem is, while doing the action, we produce more vasanas. In the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji nicely talks about the chronology of action. In chronology of action, the first thing comes vasanas. Each one of us has what is called as vasanas, or inner temperaments, nature, innate nature. Somebody is a painter, somebody is a dancer, somebody is a singer, somebody is a sportsman. Each one is different. It is due to the inherent nature. The inherent nature is unmanifest. And that unmanifest inherent nature, when it manifests as thought in your intellect. And then it further manifests as desires in your mind. And then it further manifests as action at the body. So the chronology of action is vasana, thought, desire, action. Vasana, thought, desire, action. Now, the chronology of action doesn't end there. The action further produces vasana. So from vasana comes thought, from thought comes desires, from desires come action, and from actions come vasanas again. And with this vasanas, we are tied into the world. Because of the vasanas, because you have the vasana to study the Bhagavad Gita, now you are here. If you did not have the vasana, you won't be here. So vasana is the cause for our birth, therefore it's called as causal body. And once we keep on increasing our vasanas, the vasanas will bring us back into this world. So we say punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Again you will take birth, again you will die. But since you have not learned the technique of living, you will continue producing more and more vasanas. Vedanta gives you the formula, and it very clearly says, God plus vasanas or desires equals human beings. God plus vasanas equals human beings, and the human beings minus vasanas equals God. So we need to rise above the vasana. And to rise above the vasana, you must drop the action. You got to learn the technique of right action, which is called Karma Yoga, and following Karma Yoga, you slowly, slowly drop the bulk of your vasanas or desires, and you rise above them. You can't deny your desires. To deny your desires, you get frustrated. Therefore, you are given an ashrama called Grahastha Ashrama, where you are dharmically allowed to fulfill your desires through your action. This is a technique that you got to follow, which he talks elaborately in the third chapter. So, in the Grahastha Ashrama, you predominantly follow Karma Yoga, and then your mind becomes withdrawn from the world, what the world can offer. World is not preoccupying your mind relatively becomes free. And then such a mind which has become relatively free, now you can apply, make it available to study the higher, to do sadhana for the higher, etc. So you make your life simple and then you move towards moksha. Now moksha becomes your main goal. There are four goals also the Vedanta talks about. What are the four goals, anybody?
Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha.
Correct. So Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. They are called four Purusharthas. Four Purusharthas are Dharma. Firstly, you have to learn the Dharma. When you are in Brahmacharya Ashrama, learn the Dharma. And using the Dharma, living dharmically, you got to earn the Artha, the wealth. And then, using Dharma, you go through the pleasures of life, Kama. Thus, using Dharma, when you go through Artha and Kama, your mind becomes free from Artha and Kama. When it becomes free from Artha and Kama, around 50 years you should be in that stage. If you follow so then your mind would be now interested more and more in moksha. So then you move to the next stage called Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha is not to be taken literally to go to forest. What it means is you lead a simple living with high thoughts. Then finally only moksha becomes your goal, nothing else matters. From moksha being the priority, now moksha alone is your goal. So you then move to sannyas ashrama, which is sannyas lifestyle, which is the last 25 years of one life you can say. 25 years is not just for calculation, I said so. So, ultimately, one wants to become happy and independent. That is what everybody wants. But today, we find ourselves preoccupied with desire. So, when you learn the art of living means what? It is nothing but desire management, desire control, and finally desire elimination. You forget about desire elimination and all that. At least you got to learn to manage your desire. When you say manage your desire, what we mean is manage your mind. That is why Swami Vivekananda said that you conquer the mind, you conquer the world. If you can conquer your mind, you can conquer the world. Doosron ko jai se pehle, khud ko jai kare. So now, when we begin to live our life, the most essential aspect of knowledge that we need to possess is how to deal with our mind. Unfortunately, this is not taught in any schools or colleges or any universities. And this knowledge used to be the main knowledge given during Brahmacharya Ashrama along with the other people of knowledge. So when a person comes into Grihastha Ashrama and starts living the life, he or she knew how to manage the mind and proceed. Because they were rooted in Dharma. But when we don't know, then what happens? Then we fall. And this fall happens to Arjuna in this chapter. And this chapter is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. The yoga of Arjuna's despondency or Arjuna's state of mind which was full of grief. Arjuna was simply grief personified in this chapter. And who is Arjuna? Not an uneducated person, poor person, lacking skill, lacking experience. Arjuna was number one in the art of archery. He had fought many battles and won many battles. He was called as Dhananjaya, winner of wealth. he had conquered many kingdoms and brought a lot of wealth to his kingdom. He was extremely experienced, skillful, knowledgeable. Everything was there in him. But you will see in this chapter, because he lacked this knowledge of how to live, how to manage your mind, he collapsed. So it's not enough if you have intelligence. You need to develop your intellect. Your intellect will be strengthened with this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. So once you know how to handle your mind, then you can use all your skill and everything. I'm not saying skill is not important. Gita doesn't say skill is not important. You can say skill, experience, all of them are important category, but the knowledge of dealing with your mind is a necessary category. If you go to categorize knowledge into two, important and necessary, skill and all that would come under the important category. And the knowledge of dealing with your mind comes under the category of necessary category or essential category. So the Gita says, Dharma Kshetre Purukshetre. The Kshetra, our life, our body, our experience in this world would be peaceful if it is centered in Dharma. If not, it will become the battlefield of Purukshetra. And Kuru means do. Kurukshetra means field of action. So if you take our life to be the field of action, in this field of action, you will be able to succeed if you learn this Dharma Shastra. So Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yuyutsavaha Namaka Pandavaschaiva Hima Puruvata Sanjaya. That is the first question. The first question is taken to be the first topic of this chapter, which is Dhritarashtra's question to Sanjaya. As you know, Dhritarashtra, the king of Kauravas and the father of Kauravas, he was terribly attached to his children, Kauravas. And the fighting is between his children and his brother's children. And when his brother died, he becomes the father of the brother's children also. But due to his attachment to his children, he was terribly blinded. So it's not just the king was blind at the physical level, but he was blind at the mental level also. And Sanjaya, his charioteer, was given the power by sage Vyasa to see what is happening on the battlefield. And therefore, Dhritarashtra is asking, please tell me what is happening on the battlefield. That is the first topic, Dhritarashtra's question to Sanjaya. And when Sanjaya starts reporting what is happening on the battlefield, he says, Duryodhana went up to his teacher, Drona, and starts talking. And this, from verse 2 to verse 11, the topic is called Duryodhana betrays his vanity and fear. Now in the first chapter, you would find less of philosophy and more of psychology. And Arjuna here succumbs, he will show the psychology of Arjuna. And before that, now he is talking about the psychology of Duryodhana. Duryodhana betrays his vanity, ego and fear. Remember this, ego and fear will go together. Dvitiyar Bhayam Bhavati. This was the Shastra says. Dvitiyar Bhayam Bhavati. Dvitiyar means the second. The moment the second comes, Bhayam comes. As long as you have oneness, there is no fear. The moment you pull yourself and assume individuality, separate yourself from the total, Dvitiya comes, Bhayam will come. So when you reach the Atma and see everyone from the point of view of Atma, then when you realize the oneness, then there is no bhaya. Then you reach the state of abhayam. Abhayam means without fear, without insecurity. And Duryodhana, when he went up to his teacher, when you go to the teacher, the most important thing is humility. But Duryodhana walks up like Raja, king. When Sandhya talks, he uses the word Raja Duryodhana. So Duryodhana goes with that arrogance, however big you may be. But when you go to a teacher, you display your humility, not your power or anything, position. So Duryodhana goes with so much of vanity, and then he introduces his side and the other side, talking confidently as it were. But slowly, slowly he exposes his mind. He is completely disturbed and terrified, he is scared. And that we can see in the 10th verse of this chapter. 10th verse of chapter 1. He says, aparyaptam tadasmatam balam bhishma virakshitam. Paryaptam tvidavetesham balam bhima virakshitam. Aparyaptam paryaptam. The word aparyaptam means unlimited. Paryaptam means limited. He says, this army of ours, Kaurava army, is protected by Bhishma, Pitamaha Bhishma, and our army is protected by Bhishma, and it is unlimited, it is aparyaptam. Then he says, there is that army of theirs, he means Pandava, protected by Bhima, and it is limited, paryaptam. Because if you go by quantity, the Kaurava army has 11 battalions. Whereas Pandava army had only 7 battalions. So it looks as if Duryodhana is talking with so much of confidence and saying our army is more in number and their army is less in number, so we can conquer them. No, because the word aparyaptam and paryaptam that Sandhya chooses is very interesting, because they also have another meaning. Paryaptam, which means limited, also means enough. Aparyaptam, which means unlimited, also means not enough. So when you want water and you ask for water and they say in Sanskrit paryaptam means enough. So here, yes, Sunanda, you have a question? Okay. So paryaptam, aparyaptam. Aparyaptam, if you take the meaning as unlimited, it amounts to Duryodhana saying that our army is unlimited. Paryaptam, limited, meaning their army is limited. But if you take the meaning aparyaptam, not enough, paryaptam, enough, then what Duryodhana is saying is, in spite of our army being more in number, 11 akshavanis, 11 battalions, and their army being 7 akshavanis, 7 battalions, their army is enough, our army is not enough. The question is why? Duryodhana displays his insecurity. He is scared, he is afraid. He feels limited. Why? Anybody?
Because he has a lot of ego.
Because he has a lot of? Okay. What else?
Krishna is not on that side. Even if he's not on that side.
Krishna hasn't come down.
Krishna is on this side. Okay, what else? Anything else?
He's just plain greedy, he's not satisfied, not content.
He's rooted in fear.
Yeah, that's the question, why?
because he's not because he knows what the Pandavas were all about, and his sons were not up to the mark.
No, it's not Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana. So it's not sons. Okay, I'll ask you a question, another question, before I answer this. What is the difference between team and crowd? Difference between team and crowd?
They are not together. There's togetherness and belief and trust in each other. Crowd is all separate. There's no connection in them.
Right.
He has a common goal.
Who said common goal?
I think 2-3 of us said it together.
Okay. So, the goal inspires you. The common cause. When the cause is beyond the selfish, self-centeredness, the cause is dharmic, it unites people. When the cause is selfish, however big the army may be, there is no unity there. Please understand this. That is why he can't say the army has come and it is protected by me. He has to use the word of Bhishma, because Bhishma is known for his sacrifice. Please remember this. A leader should be one who puts himself above God and inspires the followers. If you want your team to be on time, you have to be on time. You got to inspire. The leader should be the one who comes forward and takes the responsibility and faces the challenge and protects the people. Then he inspires everyone. So therefore, the Kaurava army is fighting for what? Because of Duryodhana's greed, like somebody said. There is no goal. So there is no higher purpose. There is no dharma. So when Maharaj said Krishna, this is what it means. Krishna means goal, dharma. You remember the poem Abhup and Adam? That poem Abhup and Adam. Abhup and Adam is a great lover of human beings. He does a lot of good to people. So one night he saw in his dream an angel writing the names of people who love God. So he asked the angel, is my name one in that list? The angel says no. Then he says, write my name as one who loves his fellow being. And the angel writes so, as he said, and then vanishes.
And the angel keeps going.
Next day, the angel comes back with another book of gold, which has a list of people who are loved by God. So the angel says Abhup and Adam's name was the first name. So it doesn't matter whether you love Krishna. What matters is whether Krishna loves you. Nara Seva, Narayana Seva. Nara Seva, Narayana Seva. So if you have a higher goal, if you have a higher purpose, if you dedicate yourself for a higher purpose, then Krishna is with you. Then confidence is with you. Then there is no fear. When the moment selfishness comes, destructive nature comes, arrogance comes, fear comes. You go near a cow, it's not afraid of. But you go near a, you don't even have to go near a lizard. You just tap on the floor. The lizard of the one will run, because the lizard is constantly killing and eating. So a person who is destructive in nature, a person who is selfish, they will be afraid, they will be insecure, they will be terrified, egoistic. Those who do not put the goal beyond themselves and function. So therefore you find, in spite of so many people, in spite of Bhishma, Drona, Karna, all these people and the quantum being more, still Duryodhana displays fear. So remember that when you are unselfish and selfless, no fear, no insecurity. Selfish and destructive, there is fear and insecurity. This is the psychology. and seeking the, you know, despicable character displayed by Duryodhana, showing low energy and insecurity, to cheer him up and cheer the entire Kaurava army, Bhishmacharya blows the conch. That is verse number 12. In verse number 12, you see the mighty grandchild, aged Kuru, raising a loud lion's roar, blew his conch to cheer him up. So what you need to notice here is, the war was started by the Kauravas. Remember this. Pandavas did not want to go for the war. A lot of people, in fact, blame Sri Krishna for this. They say in the first chapter of the Gita, Arjuna wanted not to fight. He didn't want to fight. But Krishna convinced him and made him fight, and so many people died. Krishna is a terrible killer. Serial killers, you know. That sort of accusation they do on Krishna. But what you need to understand is, before they came for this battle, they followed dharma. What is that? Sama, dana, veda, then finally danda. Sama, dana. Sama means discussion. Danda, sorry, dana means giving. They were ready to give everything and say, just give us 5 villages. That also Duryodhana was not ready. So Sama didn't work, Dana didn't work, Veda, they tried in politics to establish Dharma, tried to weaken the opposition. So they tried to weaken the opposition, which is Kaurava here, by trying to get the truth of Karna's birth to Karna. And when Karna got the truth from Kunti, he told, I will not come, that I will fight for Duryodhana. Either way you will have Panchala Pandavas, I will not kill anyone but except Arjuna. Either I will get killed by Arjuna or I will kill Arjuna. Nobody else I will kill him. So he said, either way you will have Panchala Pandavas, whether I live or Arjuna live, doesn't matter. But I am not coming that side, the fight will continue, I will fight for Duryodhana. So now Sama failed, Dana failed, Veda failed, everything failed, and the only option left was what? Danda. Which is what? And that is not their desire. It was imposed on them. Please understand this. In fact, before the war, Krishna goes as an emissary. He goes to Duryodhana to talk to him and try to convince him to take him out of war. But Duryodhana tries to capture him and imprison him. That is the level of atrocity to which he could go to. So therefore, remember this, next period says, beware of entrance to a quarrel. But being in bearing that the enemy beware of thee. This is the advice Shakespeare gives in Hamlet. There's a portion called Polonius' advice. Polonius is the minister of Denmark. Hamlet is the prince of Denmark. And when Polonius' son Beatus goes to France for higher study, he gives a piece of advice. And then he says, beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in bearing that the enemy beware of thee. So the Kauravas trusted the war, Pandavas didn't want to go to the war. And when the war was trusted on them, they faced the challenge. And interestingly, when Bhishmacharya threw the conch and signaled the start of the war, the challenge is accepted by Sri Krishna blowing his conch. And then subsequently, Arjuna and all others blow the conch. So this is the third topic from verse 12 to 19. The first topic is Dhritarashtra's question, verse number 1. Second topic is Duryodhana betrays his vanity and fear, verse number 2 to 11. Third topic is sound of conscience terrifying the Kauravas, verse 12 to 19. So when everyone was cheering up by blowing the conch to inspire their team, it was instilling fear in Kauravas. Like I said, there were 11 battalions, but they were more of a crowd. Whereas Pandavas were 7 battalions, but they were a team. So the number of team members doesn't matter. What matters is the cause for which they are united. So when a group of people come together for a common cause, it's called team. And when there is no common cause, when there is no principle, then it is just a crowd. It doesn't matter how many people are there. What is the individual province? All that doesn't matter. When you have identified with your children or the nation, and at this time, this kind of crisis situation or during war situation, you find the soldiers, at this time it is doctors and administrators and nurses and so many other people. They are not even sleeping 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. From where are they getting the energy? The empathy is coming because the ego is sacrificed at the altar of the nation. If the ego is sacrificed for a higher goal, then the energy comes in abundance. If not, only fear will be there. So that is what he is showing here, from verse 12 to 19, and all of them are blowing their horns. It is instilling fear in the Kauravas. And now the story slowly comes to the student of the Gita, which is Arjuna, our representative. And here Arjuna tells Sri Krishna, who is the charioteer of Arjuna. Remember, in the first chapter, Arjuna has not become the student, nor Krishna has become the guru, Gita-charya. Krishna, Sri Krishna is simply sitting there as a charioteer of Arjuna, driver. And so, Arjuna tells Sri Krishna, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see who has come to fight. Now this is the time when Arjuna is overpowered by his emotions. So verse number 20 to 30, very important portion in this particular chapter. Verse 20 to 30 is talking about Arjuna's emotions overpowering him. Emotions overpower Arjuna. Senayor bhayor madhye ratam sthapayame Achyuta. O Achyuta, O Krishna. Achyuta means one who has never fallen. O Krishna, take the chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like you to see who will have come to fight. So being a soldier who is well experienced, he probably wanted to do SWOT analysis. SWOT analysis is what? Strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat. Now, if you notice in this verse, he says, my chariot is it. Senayor, bhayor, madhye, ratam, sthapayame, achyuta. My chariot. This is not the chariot of your, this is not your chariot. The whole thing that you have, I have, everybody has, belongs to Krishna. See, if you go and read your property document, technically the property belongs to whom? The government. Isn't it? If they decide to run the petrol, where are your houses? You will have to give it to them. Of course they may compensate you. But then you will have to give. Isn't it? So to say that my chariot, this is what Guru Nanak says, no, tera na mera. In life we need to have trusteeship attitude. It's not enough if you have all the skills. You do not have the right attitude, you will suffer. So Arjuna unfortunately got into my chariot. Attachment comes. And therefore Krishna, since he is not the teacher here, he is simply smiling. The beauty of Krishna is you never find it without a smile. you are born to change. As soon as you are born, one was a person. And when he was growing up, he came to know that his uncle is waiting to kill him. And so many dangers after dangers and troubles after troubles he was passing by. But yet all the time he was cheerful. And Krishna, you will never see him without a smile. On the battlefield also he is with a smile. And then with the smile he took the chariot and placed it in between both the armies as Arjuna asked him. But mysteriously he places the chariot right in front of Bhishma and Drona. Where he actually started telling Bhagavad Gita lesson. How do we say that he indirectly started the Bhagavad Gita lesson? Why did he take the chariot and place it in between both the armies, especially in front of Bhishma and Drona, not in front of anybody else?
Because that's like
attachment
is, that's the
weakness. But what is that he wants
to teach Arjuna? He's fighting
for heaven
and it's not the attachment which he
can... Why in front of Bhishma and Drona?
Because he had the highest regard for these two and they were his teachers.
What you and Shweta are giving the second reason. What is the first reason? He wants to tell Arjuna that the religion is Bhishma and Drona. They are also people of dharma. But they are on the battlefield. Even though they don't support Duryodhana's view. But they have come because they are the soldiers. They are there just to do their duty. They also have terrible affection for you, the Pandavas. They don't agree with Duryodhana. But they keep aside their personal view and do what they are supposed to do from their duty point of view. So Arjuna, you also must keep aside your personal view and do your life duty. Here, especially in this context, that's the Kshatriya. That's the first lesson. And most of you are running family business, so the father and son may be involved in the same business. The father may be the champion and son may be the executive director or so. They may be going in the same car to the office. But the moment they enter the office compound, it is no more father and son. It is chairman and executive director. We can't mix up the roles. So your personal attachment, everything should be kept aside. Rise to the occasion. And secondly, he wants to test Arjuna's inner strength. See, all of us blame the world for our problem. Somebody outside we blame. Even now, for this Corona virus also we blame China. We blame somebody and everybody. We just want somebody to be blamed. What you are trying to say is, I am blaming everybody else is the problem. If the world is corrected, if the world is changed, the world becomes a better place to live, I will find it. And compared to the kings of the previous, you know, you see, 200, 300 years ago, the kings, they didn't have to take a distance. So, compared to the kings, you are living in a much better life. The world is much better now. It is improved much better. The kings have to travel on the horseback. So, you are having cars, it is air conditioned. The driver is there to drive you. Everything, every facility. The world is much better place and yet there is so much of insecurity. What is this showing? It is showing that how much ever you improve the world, if simultaneously your mind is not developed, if your intellect is not strengthened, you will be insecure. You will suffer. So it's not enough if you simply develop the world, you've got to develop the inner personality as well. Like now we are saying, no, this virus, it only kills people who have less immunity. So, even though the environment has the virus, if your immunity is good, you won't succumb to it. If your immunity is bad, you will succumb to it. If it's weak, you will succumb to it. Similarly, in spite of whatever may be the setup, good, bad, ugly setup, if your inside is weak, you will be upset. If your inside is not weak, you will not be upset. Not only will you be upset, you will be able to deal with it and take control of it. You will be able to influence it. So the test that all of us need to go through is the inner strength. No doubt, outer strength is important, but the inner strength is essential. And in the inner strength, the skill and experience and everything becomes handy. Without the inner strength, all these are just symbolic. It is of no use. If you do not have the technique of dealing with money, a lot of money will only destroy you. If you don't know how to handle money, a lot of it only will fish off. That is why Akshaka in Bajwari the state is Artham Anartham. Artham Anartham means wealth is calamitous. Wealth is calamitous if you don't know how to handle it. But if you know how to handle it, it's a blessing. But if you don't know how to handle it, it's a curse. Arjuna did not handle his mind properly. The moment he saw Bhishma and Drona, his emotions took over. And this is what is called as attachment. Raga. Raga means attachment. My children, my parents, my car, my business, and finally my Vedanta class, my teacher. Get attached to everything. You leave the world and come to Vedanta, you can attach there. So as long as you have Raga, what will the Raga do? Remember, likes and dislikes are attachment. Further becomes desire. And the desire is the bacteria in us. The 1 becomes 2, 2 becomes 4, 4 becomes 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, it goes on. Similarly, the desire takes over, the attachment comes once we are attached. What does the attachment do? Attachment is the biggest virus. We are now suffering from corona. Earlier MERS were there, SARS were there, all sorts of viruses are there, HIV. But the worst virus Swamiji says is this attachment, virus of attachment. He calls it as all of us of attachment. And what is the expansion of the word virus? I've explained this before, let's see if anyone remembers this. What is the expansion of the word virus? Anybody? V for vital, I for information, R for resource, U for under, S for siege. Vital information, resource, under siege. That's what it means. Means however talented you may be, however skillful you may be, however knowledgeable you may be, all your knowledge will be of no use when you are attached. You can't think. When you are disturbed, you can't think. When you can't think, you can't act. And this is what happens when your attachment takes over. The virus slowly becomes multiplying and completely takes over your personality. Before you are developed, you will be in the ventilator. see an explanation, very interesting explanation about the term ICU. What is the word ICU mean? What is ICU? You got to unmute and say.
The eyes for intellect.
What is? ICU. ICU, what is ICU generally?
Intensive care unit.
So if not intensive care unit, how many days ICU you can't see? So, in other words, when the virus takes over, it completely overpowers your intellect. Buddhinasha pranashyati. Buddhinasha pranashyati, Sri Krishna says in the third chapter. Sorry, the second chapter. So emotions overpower Arjuna. Raga takes over. And when Raga takes over, you can't think properly. So when you can't think, the biggest problem that happens is you think you know. See, a man doesn't know he's man. To the extent you are man, you don't know that you are man. Now this is a very scary statement. Because now to some extent we are not man, we are man, we don't know that. And not only we don't know that we are mad, but we think we are normal. Similarly, Arjuna not only didn't know he is suffering from the weakness of attachment, and in this attachment his knowledge is overpowered, and he thinks he knows what is the right thing, and he starts justifying his stance giving lecture to Sri Krishna. That is happening from verse 31 to 39. Arjuna tries to justify his false vairagya. See, this false vairagya is called smashana vairagya. Smashana vairagya, vairagya means renunciation of giving up. False vairagya is equated with smashana, because when someone here, say for example your parents or somebody dies, you say, when I lost my dad, what am I interested in this property? I don't want any of this property. Nothing I am interested in. My dad is more than everything. But he's gone, now I'm not interested. Let it be given to my brothers and sisters. I don't want anything. Then slowly, after a few days or few months, you say, my God, what have I done? Then you probably try to see if you can get it back, your portion. So this is called Manchana Vairagya. When some kind of sorrow or power comes in clearly, so due to Raga Soka comes, grief comes, Vishaka comes. So Arjuna Vishaka is due to Arjuna's attachment. So our Vishaka is due to our attachment. But whenever we are in Vishaka, whenever we are in Shoka, grief, what do we say? We blame somebody else. There is minimum one person in our family, in our business, in our customers, in our neighborhood, in our country, whom we blame, minimum one. It doesn't stop with one, but minimum one. But we never understand that if I am suffering, I am the cause for it. It is due to my attachment. Raga leads to shoka. But when you do not know that, you are in delusion. When you are in delusion, what do? You will go and give lecture to your guru. You will try to rewrite the shastra. So this is what it says. Arjuna goes on giving logic and reason. See, no logic, no reason, nothing. Just goes on talking, trying to justify his stance from verse 31 to 39. Out of delusion, beyond delusion. And since Krishna doesn't reply, is simply listen to Arjuna. Because he is not yet ready, he has understood what is the problem of Arjuna. He has the solution also, but he cannot administer the cure. Why? Why he can't administer the cure? Knowledge is never given, it is always taken. Remember this. Knowledge is never given, it is always taken. Only to the extent you seek the knowledge, to that extent it will go into you. Not because they are arrogant and they do not want to give you. If you are not seeking, you are not prepared. The water sprinkled on hot place will evaporate. It will not be absorbed. So the person should be ready as a shishya. Arjuna should say, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. So Arjuna is not ready. He is empty by his time. He thinks he knows. John Billing says the trouble with most folks is not how much they ignore, but they know it. So he puts the word knowing within inverted commas. So he says, the trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but the knowing so many things which ain't so. The problem is not I don't know, the problem is I know. I know, I know. So Arjuna after that he knew. And he was justifying his thought. His thought is a great renunciate. He couldn't care less for this and that. But his words betrayed it. Because when he talks about the victory, he talks about the kingdom, he talks about his fellow being criticizing him, he talks about Paap, Punya, he even talks about family culture, he goes from pillar to post to justify stuff. He is in utter confusion, but he is not realizing his confusion. And when your attachment takes over and you are confused and confounded, when the attachment takes to too much of sorrow, when you are in peak sorrow, what happens? When you are completely overpowered by attachment, what happens?
You are just going to quit.
Pardon?
You are deluded, intellectual part doesn't work.
So when your intellect doesn't work, your mind is saturated and your intellect doesn't work, then what happens?
You can't
the
think.
Money, you can't think. When you can't think, then what happens?
You can't take this.
Pardon?
You can't take rational decision.
You can't take decision, then you cannot act. You become incapacitated to act. This is what happens. And this is what happened to Arjuna. He collapses. That is the end of the chapter now. So the last topic is confounded and distressed. Arjuna collapses on the battlefield. Remember this. When your mind is disturbed, your intellect cannot think. When your intellect cannot think, your body will not act. And when your body will not act, or it will do all wrong actions, so you will achieve failure. And the failure will further agitate you, and agitation will further make you not think, and further you cannot act properly, you will get caught in a vicious cycle. But when your mind is calm, composed, serene, your intellect is sharp and it can think clearly. When it can think clearly, you can act better, you can take right decisions and act. And when you act properly, today's action will become tomorrow's success. So once you are successful, that will give you more mental being. And you get caught in a virtuous cycle. So Arjuna was caught in a vicious cycle. Confounded and distressed, Arjuna collapses on the battlefield. The last topic from verse 40 to 47. Verse 40 to 47, confounded and distressed, Arjuna collapses on the battlefield. He becomes completely incapacitated to act. So he says, he is completely stressed. Gandhi even comes from the Asta, he said that, a million. Gandhi is like sleeping in it. He gives up 2 weeks. All that he's showing that he's terribly stressed. And then he's tremendous, he cannot act. So Krishna knows that Arjuna has the skill, experience, everything. The only thing he wants to test him is whether he has the inner strength. And if he understands that he lacks it and if he gains the inner strength, then the battle is won. Therefore, he put him right in front of Bhishma and Duna. And Arjuna failed. And luckily, he did not fail completely. He did not fail completely. He recovered and he became a Siddhya. All this happened in the second chapter. But all this happened because Krishna understood psychology. See, and when Arjuna was talking, Krishna did not interfere. He just kept quiet. He was neither disagreeing with him nor agreeing with him. Just kept quiet. And Arjuna finally threw away his weapons and said, I did not fight. Meaning what happens? When the ego completely possesses us, our emotions take over, we become totally incapacitated to act. It's like myself comes into your system after a few days, you are completely alert. You can't do anything. You could be bombarded at any time. You could be WWF type. It doesn't matter. The virus gets into you and starts multiplying, you will be finished. The virus of attack got into Arjuna and he was completely finished. But luckily, he understood the problem. And then he surrendered to Sri Krishna. And when he surrendered, the Bhagavad Gita was given. All this is happening in the second chapter. So this is the summary of the first chapter. So next week when we come, we will do the summary of chapter 2. Hari Om, let us conclude.
Thank you so much.